Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Christina Cavanaugh is here, too, ladies and gentlemen. Christina is the author of Managing Your Email, Thinking Outside the Inbox, and she's the lady who helps us become more productive and be maybe a little bit less frenetic, a little bit less messed up with our email, a little bit, maybe a little bit more functional with our, not so dysfunctional with our email. And so she's with us right now, and she's going to tell us about some of those things. Christina, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you very much, Jim. Always a pleasure.
Joining us from Canada, by the way, from Toronto, Canada. Christina, now, when you wrote this book, you were kind of you were an academician. You were writing this from a professor's perspective. These are the kinds of things you were teaching your students and that sort of thing. But now you've actually moved over into the real world of the marketplace, and you've got an assignment now that's got you more in the real world, not and out of academia. How has your perspective changed on email since then?
That's a great question. For all your listeners as well, I deal with a team of five people and a board of directors. So what I've found is that when you're in the thick of it, it's shocking the number of mistakes you see all around you. But having said all that, it doesn't mean to say that if you don't practice your own rules that you can't still stay in control of your own email.
What are some examples of some of those mistakes?
Well, a lot of the mistakes...
Are these nitpicky, pedantic mistakes, or are these things that could take us down to mistakes?
It's both, and I guess what happens is they all pile up. I find that people constantly use reply to all when it's unnecessary.
In my life online, which is probably about 10 years or so. Well, actually, if you go way back to the early days of having a Hayes 1200 modem back in the 80s, maybe it's almost 20 years. But in my life online, I've never hit reply to all. Not one time.
And, really, I have almost never myself, and it's really one of the cardinal rules I say to people, never use reply to all.
I hate it when people do that.
Yeah, and people do it all the time, and I don't know whether they just think, oh, we're going to have this grand conversation and inform everyone, but by golly, when you're getting 50, 60, 70 emails a day, you start to get to know the sender offenders. And what I start doing is I don't even open the emails. I just delete.
Oh, yeah.
Now we've got these sophisticated junk mail filters, and believe me, I'm very tempted to add some of these people to my junk mail list.
I know what you mean.
So it doesn't even go to my inbox.
So in general, folks, why don't we do this, Christina? Let's give everybody listening a pass. One time in your life, go ahead and get it out of your system if you must. Maybe save it, and maybe there's one time in your life when reply to all is the right thing to do. But otherwise, you can never do it. Only one time in your life. What do you think, Christina?
I think that's okay. One time. Transgression, yeah.
Yeah.
One time, get it out.
Okay, after that, though, we're taking you to email jail.
Yes. You're not passing go. No,
that's exactly right. You're not going to get the $200. None of that, right?
Another thing I find that's interesting with email, outside of, say, abusive reply to all, especially in smaller business and with remote access, is when to turn it on and when to turn it off. I've been hearing about these plans that some companies have, freedom 6 to 6. And what that means is freedom from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. not to use the company email.
Right.
And I think it's a challenge at times for people when, you really need to be able to cut the lines between what's work email and what is the rest of my life. And, you know, just a reminder, I remind my staff of doing that, too. Please don't start sending me emails at 11:30 at night unless
you're... To try to impress me.
Yeah, or to tell me that you can't sleep and you've got nothing better to do than work.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you don't want to know about their insomnia, do you?
No.
Well, you know, I don't get up in the middle of the night and do email. Although I get up pretty early every day, but you might get an email from me on the weekend. Mm-hmm. But you're not, and you might get it on an email from me possibly before I go to bed. I might be online doing something or whatever and check the email, but you know, you're not going to get anything from me on the weekends. I mean during the middle of the night.
Yeah, that's good. We're safe.
If I get up in the middle of the night, I'm going to turn the television on or something, but probably not. Anyway, what else? What are some other things you've seen?
Well, I also see a lot of overuse of email and not picking up the phone. You know, so people just, I think part of it might be the use of BlackBerries and how easy that is, but part of it is just people just whip off these one-liners,
right?
In response to a more serious inquiry, and you sit there and look at this and go, "What are you talking about?"
Well, yeah, and you know, I'll tell you something else. I use email a lot, but I don't. For me, email is a means to an end. It's not a way of life.
Mm-hmm. Agreed, and I run into people, especially sort of in my area, like my field, analysts, people who are very numerate, who they'll send you five emails in a row, like you send an email to answer a question, then they come back with another one, and then they come back with another one, and another one, and you're kind of going, why don't you stop and think about this and send me one email?
Yeah, absolutely, and I pick up the phone and call people. I like to hear their voice if I know them, and or if there's something that I'm concerned that an email just won't convey the message, and or I'm afraid that it might be misunderstood or whatever, I pick up the phone.
Yes, I highly recommend that as a practice. When these things happen, oftentimes when I do pick up the phone, when somebody keeps bombarding me with an email, you know, conversation, it's amazing. They kind of They think, well, why didn't I do this in the first place? But
right.
I think too often people think picking up the phone means you're going to spend more time.
Right.
Email has this false sense of, well, if I send five separate emails, that's no time.
Absolutely. Stand by, Christina. We're going to take a quick break. We got more to come about managing your email. Christina's going to tell us some more of the mistakes that she's seen. Now that she's in the real marketplace, it's 20 after. Just kidding, Christina. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. A little Foreigner for you there. Great rock and roll. 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Christina Cavanaugh is here too, ladies and gentlemen. She's one of our Brain Trust members, one of our outstanding Brain Trust members, the author of Managing Your Email, Thinking Outside the Inbox. Christina, give us your website, please, or tell us where the book's available.
It's www.christinacavanaugh, all one word, no you in the name, .com.
And that's all, yeah, all A's, ladies and gentlemen. The only vowels are A's.
Yes,
Christina Cavanaugh, except in Christina, there are two I's in there.
Yeah, and, christinacavanaugh.com.
And they can find out. What do we find when we get to your website, Christina?
You're going to find articles that I've written for newspapers. You'll find an introduction to the book and, you know, a few other little sort of tips that are in there.
Right.
And you can get the book at Amazon.com.
All right. So check that out. Christina, what other things have you seen about the mistakes have you seen that people make with email?
I think the other very common mistake is email tone, which is really, I know this is a difficult one, but it's important. People are sending emails without taking the time to consider how it appears or sounds to the other person. I had just such a thing happen to me yesterday from somebody who I work with and know, sent an email that was just so abrupt. And when I got back to my desk after a meeting and I opened this thing up, it was like, you know, I felt like I'd been stabbed.
Right.
And I'm looking at this, and, you know, I got angry. And, of course, I didn't want to do anything.
You got angry, Christine? I can't imagine that. You're such a nice person.
You look at the tone of the email, and it was almost as if somebody just slapped you.
It must have been really hateful.
Well, it was. I think it was unnecessary in its tone.
Right.
And I had to sleep on it. What did I do? I followed my own rules. I had to go home and sleep on it
right.
and not touch this one
right.
until the next day. So I think it's just a reminder to people that we all still don't consider how to compose emails
right.
well. Sometimes we do it unintentionally, but the way we react is real.
One of the things I've done, and I don't think I've ever sent anybody a really bad email or anything, but I have written people, you know, responded to things that needed to be pointed, you know. And what I've done in the past, I've done two things. One of what you did, but another thing I've done is I write it out to them and send it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know, after lunch or later in the day, I read it and to see how I received it. And I might even, and a lot of times I will do what you did. I'll literally send it to me and then sleep on it.
Yep.
And come back the next day and see if I still, it's amazing what a night's sleep will do to your attitude, isn't it?
Well, true, it calms things down. The other two things I did in that message was, one, I started off my first line by saying I was a little surprised by your message. So already I'm sort of indicating to the other party that perhaps...
They messed up.
Yeah, perhaps they didn't mean to, like, as it was. At the end, I also encouraged that, you know, maybe we should talk. And let's discuss.
Right. You know, another thing, not only abrupt type of emails, but important emails. If I'm going to send something to somebody that I really want to make sure, and it needs to be an email, and I'm really making sure that it's the right thing, I will do the same thing. I will send it to myself and sleep on it. And the next day, it's amazing how much more clarity I'll have the next day.
Yeah, agreed. And one tip when we are sending those important emails, or two tips would be to make sure that the subject line is really crisp and action-oriented. So it's really indicating to the reader, you know, to the recipient, that this is an important email I should read. And then when you open the email, when you're writing it, making sure that right in the first or second line you've actually indicated to the reader what you want them to do with it. Is it a decision that you want from them? Is it a discussion?
Mm-hmm.
Pass it on for information, but let them know right up front. And that way you've created a really strong email.
You know, another thing that I don't like are long emails.
Mm-hmm. Nobody does.
So if I feel like if I've got something to say that's bigger than, that's more than you know, like not even a full screen, maybe even three-fourths of a screen, more than two or three paragraphs.
Mm-hmm.
That needs to go in a letter, folks, that you need to attach to this email.
Yeah, I totally agree. There's, you know, anybody who's listening, I'm sure, will say to themselves, they don't like it when they open up an email and it goes for more than one screen, let alone two or three screens.
Yeah.
Nobody's reading those anymore.
Well, you know, see, that's what I do when I write letters. You'll almost never get a letter from me on more than one page. On one page or letterhead, the letter, if I've got more to say than that, it's probably something that needs to be put in a table or in a summary or something. So what I do is I write it out. I'll write the whole thing out. And then I take the content and put it in a summary or in something else on another page. And then my letter becomes about three paragraphs.
Yeah, and that's perfect.
Do the same thing with email.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly the same thing. And I think it takes a little more time, Jim, but you get a much stronger result.
Right.
When you do that.
And if what you're telling them, you want it to be that impactful, well, it will have an impact if it's attached.
Yes, and people will have more of a tendency to want to open that attachment and eager to read it.
Absolutely. Christina, give us the website again, please.
www.christinacavanaugh.com.
Thank you, Christina, for being here. Good job today, and have a good weekend.
Okay, thank you, Jim, and happy Father's Day to all out there.
Thank you, Christina. Quick break, right back with Bob Negan, right after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Prosperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.